Lunch with Pippa Hudson.
And now,
Consumer Talk featuring Wendy Nola.
It's always a warm welcome to consumer journalist Wendy Nola, who is standing by today to chat to us about a possible pyramid scheme that is targeting people left very vulnerable by lockdown. We have another travel cancellation query to look at as well, and if time allows, some space for open line calls towards the end of the hour too. So if you want to join the conversation, the number to dial is 021-446-0567, and you can leave a voice note on 072-567-1567. Welcome, Wendy. Always great to have you with us.
Hello, Pippa. Looking forward to abundant conversation today.
carefully chosen wording, and you'll understand why in a few minutes. We are going to start with this so-called investment scheme, which has been flagged by one of our listeners. Wendy, tell us more.
Okay, Pippa. So imagine you're in the travel or hospitality industry or entertainment industry, and you've lost most of your income, or in some cases, all of your income as a result of COVID-19. Then an old friend whose livelihood was also affected by the pandemic tells you over coffee about a private circle of like-minded people holding space for abundance, love, and prosperity for each other. Enter the Divine Prosperity Blossom, an international so-called gifting circle where friends and families supposedly come together in a protected, sacred space to support each other emotionally, spiritually, and yes, financially. All it takes is an initial investment of around $400. Yes, this did start in the US, and it's all over Australia and here too. And then you need to recruit two more friends or family members to make the circle bigger. And then for need I go on?
No, I mean, I would be running for the door just at the name alone, Wendy. But, I mean, red flags going up all over as we hear that introduction. Red flags also went up for one of our listeners when her daughter was approached to join this abundance circle. The daughter is in the tourism industry. She's obviously suffered substantial financial impact due to lockdown. And friends and colleagues in the same industry had reported finding emotional support through the circle. They were talking to her about how much everybody in the circle cares about one another and supports one another through the hard times, and about the regular Zoom bonding sessions and daily check-ins with your circle of 15 people. All of this, of course, while waiting for your promised payout at the end of the cycle before it all begins again. I mean, Wendy, the $400, $500 US that's being asked to chip in, it's a little over 7,300 Rand if it's $500 pay in at the moment, isn't it? You heard in particular from the mother of this young woman who was really concerned at what she was hearing.
She was indeed. She said the scheme was targeting vulnerable people through emotional manipulation, and most pyramid schemes actually, and Ponzi schemes, do involve a fair amount of emotional manipulation. She said the ghastly part is that it has a huge following among people whose livelihoods in the tourism and hospitality industries in Cape Town have been lost or threatened. My daughter is struggling to survive until her business picks up, and she's been horrified to find out that the original person who gave her the brochure is only one believer, in inverted commas, of many. And you can see why it finds fertile ground here, particularly in Cape Town, I'd say, you know, because it is nothing hard financial about it. It's all dressed up in you know, abundant sharing, solidarity, mainly women, I get the impression, you know, working to help each other outside of traditional financial institutions, etc. So you can sort of see how many would find this appealing, and the support through the Zoom sessions and everything. But of course, it's not just emotional support, and it all boils down to money.
Okay, so yeah, I mean, they can phrase it however touchy-feely they want to, Wendy. It comes down to there's no entry into the circle of support without the buy-in at the beginning. Now, you looked into it, you took a look at their brochures, you did a bit of digging. Tell us a little bit about the background and what you found out about this scheme.
Okay, so it originated in the US, as many of these things do, and it propagates the idea that God wants to provide abundance to the faithful. It's obviously tweaked according to each location
it finds itself in,
but there's a lot of evangelical fervor and florid language, which is quite disturbing to me and to the mom who wrote to us. She says it has the audacity to address the issue of its resemblance to a pyramid scheme by claiming that it is gifting between friends and that every member introduces only two people, not an infinite number. But in fact, they introduce two people per four-week cycle as long as they stick with the program. And the return is supposedly you pay in this $50, which is around $7,300, and then at the end of the cycle, $500. Then the return promised is $4,000, whatever that works out to. I think it's around 60,000 rand or something. So you can see the appeal, and all you have to do is just speak to two other people per cycle, of course. Mm-hmm. So I've seen consumer protection bodies and journalists in Australia sounding the alert. In December, the Washington Post reported on the scheme operating in Maryland and targeting black community, very evangelical. They had the that state's attorney general saying, think about it. How is it possible for everybody to get $4,000? It's a crime to be part of this in that state. And soliciting people for it. It also means that you're putting your friends and family at risk. There are way more victims than winners in these pyramid schemes. And locally, Lyndall Clark, who's head of consumer education at the Financial Sector Conduct Authority, calls them affinity schemes. He was warning as far back as the end of 2019 that that body was seeing a definite rise in cases involving Christian churches that preach from the basis of prosperity, where church members, elders, and even pastors have taken advantage of congregants.
Wow.
So the brochure, I know you've had a look as well. It's quite a thing. It's very big on emphasizing that this is a trusted family-like connection, that you were specially chosen by someone who had only two invitations to extend and sent one of them to you because they also want you to experience the journey with them. And it goes on to say that the concept of gifting circles has been around in many cultures for centuries and that it's built on personal trust and commitment. There's no legal paperwork, no credit checks, no company involved. And there is the problem. Who is involved?
And that's where I say no, thank you very much. Yeah. Look, we have a financial person standing by to talk to us about this. And before we get there, I just want to say I'm not going to go into too much detail about how it actually works. Suffice to say, it's quite complicated. There are different levels one must move through. They are flower families and you get to water level and elder level and etc. Yeah, via these different channels with these concentric circles of people contributing to the scheme at each level. And then those groups are meeting on those Zoom calls and daily chats, etc. But Wendy, I mean, having read through it's a continuous loop because at the end of the 4 week cycle, you start again and there is another buy-in required and another two new recruits required. And somewhere along the line, you're meant to get that payout. But so I can understand why people are falling for it, Wendy, because if there are people sitting at home with no work and no possibility of work because of the current circumstances, it's very appealing to have somebody say to you, all you have to do is wait and your turn will come.
Exactly. And from what I hear at why it gains traction is that there are always a few winners at the beginning of a scheme. And so they will address the meetings and the Zoom meetings and the whatever and say how it's changed their lives, which is terribly compelling for somebody whose income has been devastated. So you can understand, as you say, why this happens. It's dressed up, you know, as a sacred space and divine abundance and all that. And so you don't actually, you know, you can get caught up in that and the sisterhood and everything else, but, you know, and then you don't see it for what it actually is underneath all those layers of flowers and earth and fire and sacred abundance.
Now, look, the woman who brought this to our attention didn't want to come on air to speak. She's afraid she will be recognized and outed as a snitch within the flower family. But Wendy, she did have a very frank conversation with you off air, didn't she?
She did, and I'm very indebted to her for that. She said she was actually approached twice, once in November by one friend and again in January by another. So the first friend kept telling her how she would benefit from a community of like-minded individuals, that, you know, she could expect this payout of 60,000 rand after every spin or rotation. She says, I was dubious and explained to my friend that not only did I not have the 8,600 rand to buy in, but I also didn't think the format was for me. I thanked her for the documentation and I said, if I ever changed my mind, I'd let her know. But since then, I've seen her a couple of times and she never pushes me on it. She did say once that it is one of the views of the group that people should enter the blossom willingly, so encouragement should be there, but no hard sales calls, which is quite clever, really, because that would, you know,
would be a sure sign, a red flag to a lot of people.
Yes. Yeah. So a lot of people are sort of reassured by the fact that it's not hard sell. This young woman said she mentioned how her life has changed from meeting the community, and who could not turn their nose up at the who could turn their nose up at the payout of 60,000 rand, especially when you have nothing. What took me by complete surprise, she said, was that I was then introduced to it again by a second person in January, an industry colleague, also a supplier to me in the industry, had lost his job in August. He told me about the cool gifting community, which had given him a sense of purpose again and put him in touch with such awesome people. Everyone in it works together, creating abundance, he said. It's awesome. I explained, although I liked the holistic ethos, I had serious reservations and it wasn't for me. Then she was sent a link for a Zoom call, and that's how she happened to sit in virtually on one of these meetings. And it was an introduction to the whole Prosperity Blossom concept for newbies such as herself. Yeah. And she said, it turned out to be mostly women of varied ages, but all without many options financially. There were a couple of men too, mostly husbands. They pushed the community element and the support it provides all the people who are in it. And then they opened the floor for questions. Typically the questions were, is this a pyramid scheme? What about the pressures of finding new people? All the answers would convince someone who was open to hearing this, but scary to those like me who felt like an imposter. She said, the comments that come back from the new prospective flames was how they were drawn into how lovely the people and community was. This was the draw card. Money was sold as being an added benefit. This is very interesting, Pippa.
Yeah.
The money was just the added benefit, although the man who hosted the call said he came from an extremely busy work environment and was highly stressful. That was highly stressful, and that this ethos and community allowed him to hang with his friends all day while benefiting financially. He had more time for his family too. To him, it was a no-brainer. So you can see the emotional manipulation that's going on here.
Okay, yeah. So the million-dollar question is this a pyramid scheme? And we have a guest standing by on the line to help us ponder that question. Erin White is a certified financial planner at Crew Invest, who are no strangers to this particular show. Erin, it's lovely to have you with us this afternoon. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
So as someone who must surely have come across many a scheme of something that looked too good to be true, on your first reading and having a look at the brochure and the information and what's going and being peddled and promised here, what strikes you about the Divine Prosperity Blossom and its proposition?
Well, up front, it seemed very confusing. They use a lot of words. And as a financial advisor or someone in this industry, you know, the first kind of thing I tried to cut to was, how was the money managed?
Yeah.
And it wasn't very clear on how it's managed. And it almost suggested that if you sincerely believe in your community and in the scheme, that the universe would conspire to make you wealthy beyond your belief. But, you know, that doesn't really make sense.
Yeah. I mean, seemingly intelligent people appear to be falling for this, Erin. Do you think it is just that people are particularly vulnerable right now because they're in such difficult circumstances because of lockdown, that they are clutching at straws?
Absolutely. I think, you know, they certainly try and make it seem like it is a very exclusive community. And at a time where people are feeling very isolated, to have a community that's going to make you feel important and needed can be very powerful. And that sounds like that's the big draw into this community. And when you start asking questions around the finances or the money, they kind of bring you right back to, don't worry about it. You know, it's about the community at the end of the day.
Wendy, you wanted to talk a little bit about the wording that's used, I think.
Yes. Erin, when we spoke off air, you said that there were some cultish elements in the brochure. Could you elaborate for our listeners on what were those red flag words for you or phrases?
Certainly. As I said, they seem to be trying to form a group of like-minded people that follow this process unquestionably with very little access to the details behind it. They use the phrase, We have created a sacred circle where we honor the commitment that you make to yourself and our community. And this suggests some form of a vow which they take. I also felt that the wording of the brochure may be very appealing to women who wanted to join a common sisterhood or believe that joining would enable them to achieve financial independence. And I also felt that some of the words they used were very emotive. For example, holding space or revolving a sacred space. They sound quite comforting, but they don't really mean much if you think about
it. Yeah.
And it's all, it's taking away the focus from the finance. As you said, Wendy, it's like, oh, that's just a little extra that comes on the side. That's not what this is about. Yeah. Really, this is about the circle of support for one another.
Absolutely.
When it comes down to it, you don't get access to that circle unless you have bought into it. Erin White, who is a certified financial planner at Crew Invest, talking about the divine prosperity blossom and whether or not it is a pyramid scheme. Erin, thank you for holding. Perhaps it would be useful at this point to sort of outline what a pyramid scheme is and how it typically functions, so that we can take a look at how this one stands up by comparison.
Absolutely. At its very basic definition, a pyramid scheme is where you give money and you only receive a reward once you've successfully recruited other people into the scheme. And that is the basis of how this divine prosperity blossom is propositioned. You need to keep recruiting new members in order to keep, they have tried to make it look like a circle or a flower, so they use very confusing words intentionally, but ultimately you need to keep getting new members in order to move up the pecking order, so to speak, but they keep using the words to say moving into the center.
Okay.
So, you know, and they also use the word gift. They keep using the word gift instead of using the word payout, which really just hides the intention that you're paying to take part in the scheme.
Now, Erin, where pyramid schemes collapse is where the flow of new members into the scheme dries up. Is that correct? I mean, how does a pyramid scheme come undone?
Well, you can't. There are not an indefinite amount of people. And especially, I think, at 8,900 Rand, this is $500, you're not going to have an infinite amount of people that can pay into it. So once you stop getting new members, then there's no one to fund the money flow into the top, and it will start collapsing.
So on your analysis of the Divine Prosperity Blossom, it would seem to check all of those boxes. I mean, would you be warning people, Erin, that this is a pyramid scheme?
Absolutely. I think once you cut through all of the fancy words, at the very heart of it, it's definitely a pyramid scheme.
Now, one of the things they promise is no legal paperwork, no credit checks, no company involved, which might seem like an appealing doing away with red tape. But, Erin, that in itself should be a red flag, because that red tape is there for very good reason in above-board investment schemes.
Yes. Absolutely. I mean, our industry is very heavily regulated, and there are reasons for that. And I think you've got to ask yourself, when there's no legal paperwork, there's no credit check, there's no regulatory body, what are you hiding?
Okay.
What are you scared of?
Wendy, anything else you'd like to ask Erin before we let her go?
I think she's very nicely summarized the issues here and laid out all the problems with it. It certainly seems to me to be a pyramid scheme, and you know, just go in, you know, for those being approached, I think our job today was just to say, look past all the flowery language, as Erin says, the sacreds and the abundance and the petals and the moving to the center instead of moving up as in a pyramid scheme, and see it for what it is. So thanks very much, Erin.
Thank you very much for joining us. We've really appreciated your clarity there. Erin White, Certified Financial Planner at Crew Invest. And yeah, Wendy, the main purpose of having this conversation is to warn people that if you are approached, see the red flags, tell the person who is approaching you about the red flags you see and get the word out there. I just think it's, I mean, I can understand why people are desperate enough to fall for it at times like these, but it sickens me that this kind of thing is taking advantage of how many people are in desperate circumstances.
Absolutely. The way they do it, you know, pulling you into the sacred circle of sisterhood or you know, just the army as well. So not necessarily sisterhood, but just, you know, you get the support and you all feel so warm and fuzzy towards each other. So then paying just doesn't seem like an issue at all, because it's just part of the whole giving and sharing, sharing is caring kind of thing. But, you know, it's for people who are already having financial problems, it can only end in tears ultimately when the new supply starts to dry up.
Okay, you have been warned, and let's hope the warning falls on the ears that need to hear it. We'll be back after this short break, changing tack to look at a story involving travel start and a flight cancellation, and we'll happily make some space for open line calls as well. 021-446-05.
You're with Cape Talk.
We're back with Wendy Nola, and switching tack to another travel-related story. If you were listening last week, you might have heard me sharing a call or an email, I can't remember which it was, from Rodney, who was wanting to know where the Travel Start were still operating. Rodney had a flight booked for the 31st of March 2020, which was cancelled by the airline, not by him. And he told us he was struggling to get anyone from Travel Start to engage with him recently about how to rebook or get a refund. He had tried emailing info@travelstart.com but received no reply. He tried calling their listed phone number. That got to an automated service that asked him rather to use the live chat function. And when he tried sending a message on live chat, he got no reply. Now, Wendy, Rodney also mailed us all of this. So you reached out to Travel Start, forwarding his questions to them about wanting to talk about an alternative ticket and asking why he was having such a hard time getting feedback from them. Before you tell us what they said, Rodney wasn't alone in that particular predicament, was he?
No, he wasn't. As I always do, I go on to Hello Peter to see if the complaint we've received is echoed there. And in this case, the complaints were varied, or the reason they were trying to get hold of Travel Start rather were varied, but quite a few and very recent ones were saying the same thing. Jason W. said, Travel Start don't have a helpline. You can call the one listed online. Just tells me the call volumes are high. Please email. And email is fine by me if they actually answer them. A few days later, or earlier rather, Gerard F. posted, no emails, no answer on the emails or online chat room. So clearly, as you say, Rodney wasn't alone. So I'd sent his case through and got a response from Travel Start's Group Chief Marketing Officer, Vittoria Raja. And he said this, Travel Start has continuously engaged with Mr. Jacobs up to yesterday, I believe. This was yesterday or the day before. He supplied us with a list of emails and call activities which happened last year up until October, saying, we are now in touch with Mr. Jacobs, but I believe an exchange of 12 plus emails and calls wouldn't make a consumer doubt the activity of a business. Please, aside from the above, please also consider that in our ticket confirmations and important CRM communications, we make it clear to write with regards to the status of changes and emergencies, etc., of a booking to urgent@travelstart.com. So anyone listening who's trying to get hold of Travel Start, that's the way to do it. urgent@travelstart.com. So Rodney confirmed that the correspondence they flagged did actually happen, but he says it appears they have no record of his attempts to engage with them by email from October, November, December and January. And that's when he changed the subject line to, you know, wanting to find out about how he can exchange his ticket to China for something else. It was a round ticket, and he still doesn't have the answer. Well, he didn't then. But he confirmed that a senior person at Travel Start did call him on Monday and apparently advised him that neither the phone system nor live chat are operational at present, which we keep coming to this, Pippa, is a problem. But they have promised to give him feedback by Friday, and he's got her direct email and I'm not sure he's got the number, but he's very satisfied that he's now in contact, and we're holding thumbs that he's going to get the alternate flight that he's looking for soon.
Okay, so the important thing to note, so yes, Travel Start are still there. Secondly, live chat and phone not operational, and Wendy, as we've said how many times, to reduce your communication channels at a time like this is just It's bad business in my book. Bending over backwards to make additional ways for customers to get in touch with you.
Exactly.
But there it is. And the most important thing is anybody else who is waiting on a communication or struggling to communicate with them, please make use of that email address, urgent@travelstart.com. urgent@travelstart.com. And none of the other ones you might previously have used. And I hope that will help anybody else who is needing to connect with them. Okay, Rodney, let us know. Fingers crossed. I really hope that you finally get an answer from them by the end of this week. Okay.
Can I just jump in with something quickly?
Yes.
You remember last week's show, we focused on problems that Safari Now was having.
Correct.
They had a backlog of payments. There are totally owned by Travel Start, so there's a link. The MD of Safari Now, Tom Williams, emailed me today to say, just an update, I've communicated personally with each of the property owners who we still owe money to. We're working off an ordered backlog, prioritizing by time, waiting, and making payments each day as our cash flow allows. They're obviously very keen to let us know that that's in hand, and nobody who had visitors via in their homes, in their properties via Safari Now, and hasn't been paid will be left unpaid, and that these payments are happening every day. So if anyone's still sitting with a problem weeks from now, to let us know, but it does seem fairly positive that that's going to be resolved.
Fingers crossed. Thank you so much for that update as well. Okay, we've got several open line questions that have come in by WhatsApp and email, but I'm also happy to open the lines themselves on 0214460567. We've got about just under 10 minutes to fit in a couple of general consumer questions if you would like to phone in. Maggie raising one which I think will be easily dispensed with, Wendy, but raises an interesting question. Is there any difference in consumer rights if you're using SnapScan rather than the original credit card? With regard to the protection afforded by the card, is it the same with SnapScan?
The short answer, Maggie, you'll be happy to know, is yes. You do get chargeback protection with SnapScan, and chargeback being if you don't get the goods or services that you paid for and you can prove it, you apply for chargeback from the bank that issued your card or your SnapScan, and they go to the merchant's bank. The two of them have a little chin wag, and the upshot of which is you get your money back if your information checks out.
Okay, Maggie, thank you very much for asking the question. One quite in line with COVID conversations just in on the WhatsApp line from someone who says, I recently had to go into hospital and required a mandatory COVID test before I could gain access to the hospital. I'm on a hospital plan. Momentum are refusing to cover that test, which was required to facilitate my hospital stay. Is that fair and legal? Any ideas on that, Wendy?
I'm not sure on the legalities, to be honest, Pippa, but certainly not fair. Other medical schemes are paying under those circumstances. So if you want to send me an email with the details and your scheme number, I'll be very happy to raise that with Momentum to get some clarity on what they're doing generally on that score, but that's not encouraging news.
It's not, but it's an important one. Yeah. Thank
yes,
you. Whoever
yes.
said that, if you would follow up with an email, please, to pippah@capetalk.co.za or go to Wendy directly on consumer@nola.co.za, spelled K-N-O-W-L-E-R. And just give us a few more details, the dates of the test, etc., what interaction you've had with Momentum. I think it's an important one to follow up on. Okay, we also heard from somebody asking about service fees. Is it legal for a retail store, in this case Mr. Price, to charge a service fee on one's account? The account is already interest-driven. One pays for card insurance, etc. Why the need for a service fee? I was alarmed when I studied my account and saw this entry. None of the other retailers, including my Fashini's and Woolies cards, levy such a fee, and Anna would like to know your thoughts on that one.
Okay, Anna, a lot of people query this, and it's not just Mr. Price. I know certainly Edgar's charges it, and it doesn't sit well, because whether you're spending on your account or not, you have to pay that service fee. It is allowed for by the National Credit Act. It's perfectly legal on any credit agreement, so you'll be paying it if you're paying off a car, for example. It's not compulsory, so some choose not to do it. But generally, when the Act limited the amount of interest that these retailers could charge on their store cards, some of them responded by introducing the service fee as a means of clawing some of that interest back. Again, these accounts are not compulsory. If you're not happy you just indicate your intention to cancel, and that's that. But yes, they are very much legally allowed to charge that service fee.
Consumer Talk. Open Line. Call 021-446-0567.
That is the number Rachel has dialed from Tableview. Rachel, you also wanting to flag a flight cancellation issue, I believe. Good afternoon.
Yes, hi, good afternoon. And I booked a flight to go back with British Airways to go back to England. I booked it through Vitality last February because I had quite a good special. The flight was due to go out in October, and obviously that was cancelled. So I've been liaising with Vitality since then. They said it would take about 4 months for the refund to come through, and it's been 4 months now, but I've heard absolutely nothing. I'm in contact with them quite regularly, and they're like, no, British Airways just aren't refunding. We've heard nothing. And I tried to contact British Airways, and they're saying you must contact Vitality. So, yeah, I'm getting a bit of the runaround here. So I'm not sure what to do.
Wendy, I don't know if you've had any recent interactions around Vitality bookings.
Not specifically Vitality. I did it at one stage, and the answer was, you know, they were coming through in batches, and that was just the way BA was doing it over the months, and they had to play the waiting game, as did the customers. And I had a case of another agency, a small agency in Stellenbosch, and one of their clients got hold of me about the same thing, a cancelled BA flight that just hadn't, the refund just hadn't happened, and that was the same story about the batches. So, Rachel, if you send me an email, I could raise your specific case. It can be a bit of a squeaky wheel issue when the media raises a specific case. I'm happy to do that for you. You've been waiting a very long time. If you give me the booking reference and all the other details, I'll send it through. Won't take me long, and hopefully that will help. That's all I can offer to. All right.
Yeah, I'll do that. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Rachel. And again, that email address is consumer@nola.co.za, K-N-O-W-L-E-R. And just put Cape Talk BA flight in the subject line so that Wendy can look out for it. I think we can squeeze in one last question, a call from Anthea in Somerset West. Yours relates to car repairs, Anthea. Good afternoon.
Ah, yes. I urged my son to send Wendy an email last week, detailed everything about a Mini Cooper Sports that he's paid almost 30,000 grand for, and the problem still persists. So Wendy is in possession of the email from Vadim Petzer, but it has not been acknowledged, and I want to know, you know, whether she's going to do something about it, because he doesn't know where to go and what to do.
Okay, Anthea, okay. I'm just going to jump in here and just ask for some patience, please. Wendy's inbox is overflowing at the moment. You can just imagine how many COVID-related cancellation cases have been brought to her. So it's not always possible to respond instantly or as fast as she might have done in previous times. I'm going to put that out there, appealing to everybody who is emailing us to allow a little bit of breathing room. Wendy, I don't know if you've even seen this particular email that Anthea's referenced.
I have to say I haven't. I don't think people can understand the volume of email I get. I'm one person with no admin help, and I've got lots of editorial deadlines which I'm paid to meet that take priority. So I try to help as many people outside of that as I can, because I have media advantage, but I can't be held accountable for every single one. So, Anthea, I get that you're upset and that your son did as you asked, and I haven't responded. I will do an inbox search for a Mini Cooper complaint. I will probably find at least 10 just for that one brand in the last week. I'm exaggerating, at least 10 in the last month because of the volume. So bear with me. I will do my best. But car complaints or dodgy repairs, those are huge in volume all on their own, so I can't get to all of them, but I will do my best.
Okay, Anthea, please, thank you. Just a little patience, please. Anybody, we really, Wendy can't, and neither can I, reply within a day or two to every single complaint that is brought to us. It just isn't possible given the sheer volume of complaints, particularly under current circumstances. We do our best to look for the common themes, Wendy, and sort of group together those which have a lot of people complaining or commenting in the hopes that the information can be of help to a larger group.
Yes, exactly. So, but I do understand when you're sitting with a pressing problem, you know, it's very important to you and you're desperate for help. So I get that. I just hope people can get to that logistically, you know, there are limitations.
Okay, we do have to wrap there. And Wendy, I want to say a huge thank you to you for all the work you do helping so many of our audience members who bring problems to your desk. And we look forward to doing so again next week with a reminder that next week Consumer Talk is happening an hour earlier than usual because of the budget speech. So we'll talk to you just after 1 o'clock next Wednesday.
Will do. Thank you, Pippa.
Thank you so much, Wendy Nola. And remember, you can also reach out to her via her Facebook page, Wendy Nola Consumer. She's with us from 1 till 2 next week because we'll be taking the budget speech live from 2 o'clock.